You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the APC podcast here. Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, and Zach Rapport here with you, fresh off a 22-0 victory for the Green Bay Packers over the lowly Buffalo Bills. We're coming to you from the Craig Newmark School of Journalism here in New York City. Once again, that's why we all sound nice and clear and wonderful. How are you guys doing?
You got off a plane. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. All things considered, I took a lot of different things to try to make me sleep on this flight. Didn't work, so I got about an hour of sleep. When I was woken up by like the worst turbulence I've ever experienced, with like old women yelling and everything. So today was like a hectic day.
Dios mío.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the things that you took? A lot of different things.
So I don't know. I was told, and it wasn't a stranger, it was someone I was traveling with that used to live in Thailand. I don't know the name of the medicine, but it's some type of like Thai sleeping pill that is not so much to make you fall asleep, but when you do fall asleep, to keep you sleeping. I don't know what the hell that means.
Sounds bizarre.
That sounds really bizarre. Some Benadryl, some gin, you know, the usual things that you consume at an airport when you're taking off at like 1:30 a.m. Eastern.
You're coming to us now live, fresh off a cocktail of gin and weird sleeping pills from another country.
Yeah, exactly.
Dial it up.
But I'm excited to talk about the Packers because especially I think it's a weird situation to be in when you shut out a team. I know that team is pretty much thought to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, though they did smack the Vikings. So I guess the transitive property of the NFL this year just doesn't work at all because the league makes no sense right now. But it's weird to come in with like such a negative spin on it because like the number one thing that I was reading when I was gone was all this quotes from Aaron Rodgers about a unacceptable performance from them, a non-playoff level performance from them. So we're going to get into that, but why don't we start first, and maybe we'll, you know, some of this will have to do with what pissed Rodgers off, with our note nugs from the game. Zach, what's your notable nugget from the Packers win on Sunday?
I don't like to be play calling guy. I just try to stray away from that.
It's like the third time this year that you've said
it's
you
true,
said that.
It's
like
true.
I'm never play calling guy, but
All right, look. The fire Mike McCarthy bandwagon, you know, it rolls by and I usually just like wave and I'm like, look at those crazy people on that bandwagon. And this year I'm like a little bit closer. I'm kind of like, maybe when it pulls up to the stop, I'll kind of like take a look, see who else is on there. So I do dabble, but all right, it's third down, and let's say...
In general, or is this the specific third down?
Let's say it's third down and 16.
I think it was third and 11, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the first series?
Third and long.
Yeah, it was like 10 or 11, I think.
There were a number of instances, and it's, of course, not the first game where this has happened. You're midfield-ish. It's third and long, and you run a play that is designed to get, like, 2.5 yards maximum. Maximum. For what reason? To like maybe get into field goal range in a game where that doesn't really make a difference? I said this, Ben and I watched the game together. I said this, I remember saying it at the time. Why don't you just take a shot at that point? Again, not play calling guy, but play calling guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah. To me, that's a play call that the team you were playing on Sunday makes. Like if you have Josh Allen and a talentless receiving group, you have the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you don't make that call.
Pat Mahomes? Just kidding.
Well, all right. Yes. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we think for now, Aaron Rodgers is better than Pat Mahomes. Although, damn, man, that guy, it's like, I'm like almost more into watching the Chiefs than anything else this year in sports.
Oh, you mean Showtime?
Oh, yeah.
Showtime Mahomes.
But that feels like a play call you make when you have Josh Allen and Kelvin Benjamin, not Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. So I agree. I think that was pretty BS.
It happens enough that you can remark on it as a trend. I'm not actually sure what the breakdown would be, like how often they make those kinds of plays per game, per season. But the instances where it stands out are so notable to me that I can feel like I'm like, this is something that I've yelled arg Mike McCarthy about like in the past. And I don't even remember the last time it happened off the top of my head, but it is something that comes up.
There's talk of sort of the new wave of NFL thinking, you're Sean McVay's, and McCarthy is someone who frequently gets lumped into the category of the sort of football dinosaurs. And again, always with the caveat of, I don't know as much about football as these people do. It just seems like that is a old conservative way of thinking, and I just didn't understand it.
How many other quarterbacks, other than Aaron Rodgers, on 3rd and 11 or 3rd and 16, would you kind of be expecting to get the first down?
One of the stats that they showed early in the game was that the Packers have the longest average third down distance of any
team
in the league.
9.9
yards.
It's like
11. No, it's like 11.
Really?
No, it's 9.9. It's like exactly 10 yards. Part of that issue is going to be, like, at least some of the relation is going to be, what are you doing with first and second down? And how are you kind of, you know, third down isn't a vacuum, right? Like, it's set up by whatever happens leading up to it. And the real question, I don't know what the holistic analysis is. I think if you're calling a draw on 3rd and 10, obviously things have already not gone according to plan for two plays.
Right.
Alex, to your earlier point about, you know, how many quarterbacks would you trust to get the first down there? I'm not even saying you need to get the first down. I'm saying you take a shot to the end zone.
Right, right.
Because why not?
Why would you take a shot to the end zone and not 10 yards down the field?
If you are content at that point to punt, that's what I mean. If you are content to punt, why not just take a shot at the end zone?
Yeah, I don't know about taking a shot at the end zone, but I would maybe try a pass play with a guy who never throws interceptions. I mean, I think any notion of kind of ball security, like, oh, you can't throw because they're expecting to throw. It's not like Rodgers doesn't throw bad. He doesn't make a bad decision. Like, he's totally content to throw it away if there's nothing there on 3rd and long.
Which makes it all the more frustrating. Like, why not just trust him in that spot? And I also think
No.
This is like this will probably just be my note nug and then we'll just move on. But in terms of what you were saying and like, why are they facing so many 3rd and longs? I could be wrong because, again, I'm like, I watched the condensed version. I'm kind of out of it, whatever. And I understand Jimmy Graham had a touchdown on a pick play, which is something that I wish the Packers did more, that every team in the league does when they're in the red zone, even though they have a really good red zone percentage because of their quarterback. But is Jimmy Graham just beat? Like, sometimes it feels like that Jimmy Graham is just filling the same exact role that like Richard Rodgers held. And that like we don't even acknowledge the fact that like we upgraded so much at tight end. And that doesn't mean you should just continue to run the same plays that you ran with Richard Rodgers, but instead you should design for Jimmy Graham. Like, yeah. If I see Jimmy Graham catch the ball like at the line of scrimmage on like a one step fucking out route again, and then like turn his shoulder and get one more yard and get pushed out of bounds, it's gonna like, that shit drives me insane, man.
It's also hard for me.
I used to laugh every time they did that with Richard Rodgers, and now they're doing it with a guy who's way more talented than him.
And it's hard for me when you talk about the tight ends, and I've talked about this in the past few weeks, but it's hard for me not to think about Lance Kendricks and how he is still on the team getting reps ahead of guys like Mercedes Lewis. It just doesn't
Are you sure you don't want to say a different
guy? Yeah, I think there's another guy that was that's on the tip of your tongue.
Who are
you
pushing for?
All right, Big Bob Tanyan.
Yeah.
Own the Big Bob.
No, and that was gonna be my note nug too, which is just like it's
multiple
nice
note nugs.
Groovy and vacation, you're just grabbing all the nugs. All right.
Sorry.
Feeling your oats over here.
No, well, like off the Lance Kendricks things, because it reminded me of what I wanted to discuss is like, look, it's not a bad thing to have three running backs that I think are pretty good, right?
Wait, are you trampling on my note nug over here?
Is that your note
nug? No, I mean, it's okay. Go on.
No, go back.
No, I got plenty of nugs.
Pre-show meeting shot to shit.
Yeah, pre-show meeting is shot to shit. I actually forgot who was supposed to talk about this.
It's all good. You go.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
No.
I won't even talk about it with the running backs, with Lance Kendricks always being on the field with like no like rhythm in terms of who's actually in the backfield. It just feels like a youth team where it's like everybody's going to play and we're going to like figure it out instead of like, oh, ride the hot hand. This guy should play.
I mean, I'll defend Lance Kendricks a bit in that I think he's actually been used fairly well as a run blocker and as an H-back.
But isn't that what Mercedes Lewis is really good
at? I mean,
at?
That is a shock to me that Mercedes Lewis isn't getting more of those reps. And I don't know, you know, which Packers beat writer is going to ask that question. Like, where's Mercedes Lewis in all this? But no, I mean, so if we're, we'll just transition to talking about the running back snaps, yeah, right? Like, that's where we're all heading there. And I think a lot of what Aaron Rodgers is complaining about is, or not, I don't know if he's, you know, whatever. Like, I think everybody involved in the Packers came away from that game saying that Aaron Jones should get the ball, right?
Yeah.
He's their best running back.
And I don't think anybody didn't know that going in, right? Like, and that's not even to say that Jamal Williams is bad. Like, Jamal Williams is a great pass blocking running back. He's a, you know, fine between the tackles runner. He can catch better than a lot of running backs in the NFL. Ty Montgomery, you know, wasn't that effective as a between the tackles runner, but, you know, when he was on the field, he had that one huge reception. I think it was a 30-yarder. The one thing I will say in the, you know, more Aaron Jones camp is that the more Aaron Jones you have, the less third and 10 you have. Like, if you're wasting those that you're running downs on Jamal Williams picking up 2 yards, you know, and your offensive line catching a hold on it, because that seems to be happening a lot too.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones averaging 6.3 yards per carry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Aaron Jones is going to be an integral part of this offense moving forward. I don't think that's really at question. And I'm not actually so certain about why Rodgers was upset about that part of it.
You know what's funny? As we were talking about this, did you guys see that Mike Leach quote after Washington State won with 0 yards rushing? Like, they had a, they
oh,
beat
the 50%.
Yeah, like where he basically went on like this 3-minute rant, just tearing down the notion of like balance and offense, like 50% rush and 50% pass, yeah, yeah, or whatever. And he said that's 50% stupid. Like, I was starting to think about that because I feel like Jamal Williams like exists sometimes, like just to keep the balance. Like, mm-hmm, like there is like a certain number of carries that Mike McCarthy wants to hit.
Yeah,
and that is just like that's not the way football is anymore. So like, I don't mind if Aaron Jones only gets 10 or 12 carries. But when he's obviously probably your best option as a receiver, maybe not as a blocker, and as a runner, though, so that checks a lot of boxes, yeah, right? As a guy with the ball in his hands, like, I just want him on the field a little bit more. And I don't want to be force-fed Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams if Aaron Jones is, like, getting into a rhythm, which is another word we're going to talk about a lot, because there was no rhythm, which is what pissed Aaron Rodgers off. That makes no sense.
One thing I'd like to see is a little more creativity in the personnel, like what plays you're running with what personnel on the field. Like, right, if Aaron Jones is on the field, it shouldn't necessarily be a run because,
right,
because the other team thinks that you don't think that Aaron Jones can pass block as well as Jamal Williams. Like, I would like to see a little trickery.
He had a good block or two in the game.
No, yeah, he had a couple, but I mean, like, I think the Packers are fairly transparent that it's like, if Jamal Williams is in, they're throwing, or that it's, you know, it's going to be a run between the tackles. If, you know, if Aaron Jones is in, it's probably a run. Ty Montgomery can motion out, but yeah, I would like to see, you know, there's such a trend in the NFL towards kind of gadgetry,
yeah,
to the point that I don't think you can even call it gadgetry anymore. It's just NFL offenses have lots and lots of wrinkles now.
Yeah.
And the Packers haven't quite gotten on board with that yet.
And they could probably even still beat teams. Well, they did beat teams like the Bills without wrinkles, but they can probably still be productive more than they were without those wrinkles just by, like, I mean, like, force feeding Davante Adams the ball. But again, maybe you find some creative ways to do it, but I don't even think you need to. Like, that seemed to me like what Rodgers was most upset about was the targets for Adams. And I thought that was a fun back and forth because they're like, well, you're throwing the ball. Is there a reason why maybe you
were looking off him?
Yeah. Like, you know, and he's basically saying whatever, like, you know, I don't know, like, how this works. Like, you go through your progressions, blah, 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 whatever. But Davante Adams isn't the number one option on as many plays as he's supposed to be. And that's also frustrating because it's, like, just as obvious as it is that Aaron Jones is probably the best out of the three running backs with the ball in his hands, Davante Adams is clearly the best receiving target that exists on this team. And he should be getting, like, those volumes of targets that, you know, the great ones get.
And to hear Aaron Rodgers tell it, he was basically uncoverable in this game.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like,
but then throw him the ball. Like, you have the ball in your hands,
yeah,
dude.
It was confusing.
I don't, like, I'm not, I guess I really am just lost on what
he was so pissed about.
Yeah. I mean, like, it, like, look, was that my favorite Packers game in history? No, it was boring. Like, by
it really
and large,
was.
It was, like,
yeah,
not an enjoyable game to watch. But I don't totally, like, yes, the defense was much better than the offense. You know, the offense didn't look like they were running ramshod over, you know, every time they were on the field. So what? I mean, they looked better than they did against Washington.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it does seem like the parts are there. Like, I'm not worried about this team.
No, I don't want to sound worried. And I just, like, why does this always come up?
It's interesting. It's interesting that I guess in a weird way, this is like something more about Rodgers. Whereas if, you know, I guarantee you, if they would have lost that game after the Washington game, you know, Rodgers would be out here saying R-E-L-E-A-X, right? Like,
yeah, no,
like that would
true.
Be, he'd be like, look, we tied Minnesota. We came back against Chicago. You know, don't freak out.
Yeah.
Like, and so I'm sure that whatever Rodgers is like getting at is in some way designed to motivate the team based on whatever the situation is. And the situation is right now is that he probably doesn't want him to get complacent, which is, you know, a real issue with the Buffalo Bills as the Vikings showed.
Victory, yeah. Should we just talk about the defense for a little bit, though? They did pitch a shutout. And
yeah.
I mean,
first shutout since 2010.
And all our fans are complaining.
Yeah.
And I just love.
It's true.
So I'm a Cam Newton guy. Mm-hmm. So I automatically just like came into this year not wanting Kelvin Benjamin to like have fun being in Buffalo, like just the way that he exited.
You took sides in a Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin spat?
Oh, of course.
That's strange.
It is weird. Anyway.
Why?
I love that it felt like Jaire Alexander was just bullying Kelvin Benjamin all day. Yeah. A 6'6",
Kelvin
like 270
Benjamin had a
70-pound
very
receiver.
Bad day.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Including like a traumatic brain injury.
Well, yeah. Before the traumatic brain injury.
Wow. Way to kill the vibe in the room.
I was trying to talk more about Jaire Alexander. And
I mean,
how
but
I like,
look at how the league changed. That Tremont Williams, the first thing he does is like, you know, check if like the NFL is actually like slowly moving away from, you know, raucous cheering for traumatic brain injuries.
But Alex, back to your point, the secondary,
Jaire Alexander,
looking pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who I actually thought had a better game was Josh Jackson.
Yeah,
I thought Josh Jackson had an incredible game. And yeah, I think the secondary looks great.
They kind of have all week. I guess we don't need to spend that much time because I feel like each week we've been like, yeah, the young guys look really good. It's also the Bills, but should we continue to credit Mike Pettine's ability to generate some type of pressure with very little guys who are skilled at doing so?
When Kyler Fackrell gets credited for 3 sacks, I say yes. Although one of them, I don't know if you, I described this to you, Alex, because you hadn't seen the game yet. But essentially, he gets tossed yet again like a rag doll by a lineman. And because I think it was Kenny Clark had kind of...
He flushes the pocket and then...
And tripped up Allen a little bit, who then kind of fumbles over his own feet. And Kyler Fackrell happens to be in the area adjacent to guy falling down.
He tripped over the blocker that was in the process of manhandling Fackrell.
But yes, that is accurate. But the other 2 sacks were good. And those were a credit to scheme, and I think that we saw a lot of
Morrison.
New...
Morrison had a great schemed look,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did.
Where he nailed the big guy, Josh Allen.
Big guy.
And these are new wrinkles from Pettine's scheme
to try
to generate rushers.
Yes, I think it was a good demonstration of like general effectiveness. But, I mean, they had so little to worry about downfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to lift the defense up, but I also... It cannot be overstated how bad Buffalo's offense played, and Josh Allen in particular.
Yeah, Josh Allen is bad.
Yeah. And he might get better, but right now he cannot read a defense and make
spirals.
Adjustments. Can't do it. Oh, yeah. The broadcast.
The broadcast is like, nobody throws a spiral as tight as Josh Allen. And then they were, and then every time he threw a ball to nobody, I'd just be like, look at that spiral.
Yeah.
So tight.
So tight.
But to be fair, Aaron Rodgers, the Geronimo Allison drop on the sideline with the toe touch, that was an ugly spiral. And I think that if Rodgers would have thrown a better spiral, Geronimo might have been able to catch that ball.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. Rodgers was not on his his A game. There was no flow
to
the offense.
He hasn't really been on his A game since one half. I guess he was like decent against the Vikings.
I think there were a lot of reasons for him to be grumpy after the game. And I think one of those reasons was that he didn't himself play well, although I don't think he really said that. Outright. I don't know. They should have scored 45 points in that game. And the fact that they didn't is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're gonna underperform, you might as well underperform against the Bills.
While your defense gets its first shutout in almost a decade.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Not almost a decade, I don't think.
2010.
Yeah, it's almost a
decade. Oh my God, I'm getting old.
2010. Oh, so the Super Bowl year?
Wait, that can't be right.
2010 against the Jets, 9-0.
That's
right.
Ugly game. Oh God.
Yep. Very ugly game.
Yep.
The top two defenses in the league that year. Were you guys at Tom and Jerry's on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Three brats.
Brats were plentiful.
Three brat count? Three brats? All right.
Felt good. I biked there. So I biked home and like biked off the brats.
There you go. How about for you? Three as well?
No, just two.
Let's look Wimpy. Forward though.
Are we predicting how many brats we're going to have Sunday?
No.
Talking about the Lions.
All right. Packers, Lions, 1-3 Lions. They don't look great either.
They look all over the place. Sometimes they look decent. Sometimes they look bad.
But they do pose more of a threat than the Buffalo Bills do. What we were just talking about, downfield threats and
offensively,
testing the secondary.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Is Kenny Galladay healthy?
Kenny Galladay, I think, is healthy.
Yeah, I think so.
He's good.
I'm going to be excited to watch him versus our young corners because I think there's a lot of talent.
And our old corner.
Yeah, and our old corner. But I like watching the young guys more than the old guys.
What's your prediction?
I'm predicting that the offense is going to be a little bit more rhythmic, I think. If we're really going to send that message in the media, I think there's going to be some nice meetings that may have already happened between Rodgers and McCarthy saying, some harsh things to say about what they need to go into Sunday with.
Division games are always tough to predict, and Patricia, this will be his first time coaching against the Packers. But, I mean, this is a team in the Lions that lost against what we now know is a pretty bad Jets offense. They gave up 48 points to them.
Yeah. And threw five interceptions.
Well, that was team. Stafford played a horrible game.
They knew the plays. I thought that was the weirdest
they
thing
said
about
that. They
that.
Knew the plays. One thing I would say is that I think this will be a big game where Aaron Jones will probably may well have over 100 yards.
Yeah, the Lions do rank, I believe, worst
even
in
on
run,
12 carries.
In run defense so far this year, giving up the most yards.
Yes, they're last in the league.
Over 600 yards rushing, I believe, surrendered so far out of four games.
That's a lot of yards.
Yeah.
So I think this will be a good game for the running offense. We'll see if that might actually open up some play action possibilities and whatnot for Rodgers and kind of have a more functional offense. Darius Slay presumably covering Adams, so he probably shouldn't be as open as he was against the Bills. Anything else of note?
Kerryon Johnson, their first real running back.
Yeah, Kerryon's legit. Yeah. I think one thing that the Packers, one thing I've not been impressed with the Packers is inside linebacker and the outside linebacker. Honestly, the whole middle of the front is not impressing me much at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to do about that.
All right, the Packers are road favorites.
By
a point and a half.
Seems low. Well, I guess not for the road, I guess.
Yeah. I guess. The uninspired
also,
performance
I feel like
Washington.
In the first game of the year, the Lions have had the Packers number like a bunch of these years. I don't know. I mean, I just think the Packers are a better team on both sides of the ball. I think that Detroit has a better receiving core and maybe a better running back. But I think the Packers are significantly better on defense, probably about par on offense. I don't see them losing this game. But I don't know. What do you guys see?
I don't see them losing. I like Rodgers. I like Rodgers indoors. I like Matthew Stafford to make one or two just...
Inexplicable mistakes,
exactly.
I like Aaron Jones indoors.
Yeah, and I like the Packers' ability to capitalize on those mistakes now that they've got some playmaking ball hawks. So I would take them to cover that point and a half on the road.
Packers 33, Lions 24.
That's a oddly specific line, but yeah, on that note, I think taking the over, I think is the total set at 50.5, and I could see this being a shootout quite easily.
Yeah, I certainly can. All right, anything else we need to hit before we get out? I don't know if you have the APC Pick'em update ready to go.
I sure do.
I did not forget to get in my picks for the Pick'em, despite the fact that I was gone and very unplugged and had no idea that Eric Reed even signed with the team. But I got my picks in. I'm sure that doesn't
I,
mean
I didn't
that
get
I'm
my Thursday night
better.
Pick in.
I didn't get, oh, I think I missed a Thursday night game.
We are bad at this. All right, let's take a look at the standings. The APC podcast listener Pick'em League coming in first place, Nicholas Price. Aaron is in second. Nick Varley is in third. Glenn Hintz in fourth. Matthew Cook is in fifth. Lauren's down at sixth place. Kind of some similar names kind of floating around there in the top. I believe that I am now leading the podcast up in 17th place. Ben Foldy, you dropped to 24th. And Alex Patakis, where are you?
you stayed put at
33rd place overall. But you got your picks in while you're in Peru. So bonus points for that, but I'll give you a cookie after the show.
Thank you. The NFL's been weird, man. It's been very strange. It's been hard to pay. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying. I don't know who had the Bills beating the Vikings, and then people thought the Dolphins were actually going to beat the Patriots in New England, and then the Patriots are back, and then next week they won't be. It's just weird, man.
I picked the Patriots in that game. It's just like that game. I just knew, just like, this is a game where everyone thinks maybe this is the time that the Dolphins turn it around and make a statement. No. This is exactly how this movie has played out before. They just get trounced.
Yeah. That's been the AFC East for almost our entire lives, basically, is how that whole thing has gone. And then you look at the other two teams in that division, the Jets and Bills, there's no one threatening. The Patriots can stumble, you know, they could go 9-7 and probably win that division and then just turn it on in the playoffs.
As I believe Justice Mosqueda has pointed out before, the two best quarterbacks in that division in the last decade were both Patriots.
That's ridiculous. Okay, yeah, if you can, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at all of our names, at Alex Patakis, at Ben Foldy, at Zach Rapport, and at the APC Pod, and you can email us at theapcpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to Chad Bernhardt for engineering the show and sitting through some Packers talk, which...
some blather.
Some blabbing
he's still,
about.
He's still awake back there.
and thanks to you guys for being awesome and keeping me informed, because I had no idea about half the things that you brought up during this show. We'll see you next week with a more organized and energized version of the ABC podcast.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.